So our topic today is empowering a life without limits, 10 tips to a winning mindset. And I found these terrific notes in one of my folders, and I said to Libby, I said, I know I heard somebody speak on this, and we had to dig out because I didn't put the gentleman's name. And so let me give you the background of it. I was at a Ultimate Wealth Camp and listening to a lot of terrific speakers. This was last, I believe, November. And this gentleman got up there. His name was Alan Stalvey, and he happened to be, although I was in Las Vegas at this event, Alan actually lives in Dallas, Texas, and he spoke, and this was his topic of living an empowering life without limits, 10 tips to a winning mindset. So he talked about, first of all, he gave his background, so let me give you a little background on Alan Stalvey, S-T-A-L-V-E-Y, Alan Stalvey. He had an alcoholic mom, abusive stepfather that had older children, and his stepfather absolutely loved his older children more, and he got a lot of beatings as a young kid because he wasn't one of the favorites, right? And he was told that he had no sense, that he wouldn't do well in grade school, and then they gave him a blot test. Some of you have seen those ink blot tests, and through the test, he discovered that he had abilities far greater than what he had been told in his life. And he just decided that there was more in him than he could possibly accomplish, so he was going to do whatever it took. Now, notice his attitude, whatever it took. I'm going to do whatever it's going to take. I don't know. I'm just going to highlight that for you guys. It's not in your outline. I'm just part of the background of Alan. But how many of us make a choice to do whatever it takes? And we can start looking at our lives and say, where did I ever put the stake in the ground and say, I'm going to do whatever it takes? And I think sometimes we look at like winning the Costa Rica trip or getting to a certain leadership level or accomplishing something in our life. And one thing I absolutely guarantee you is that there are always going to be roadblocks. Always. They're going to come up all over the place. But the idea is, how do you view your roadblock? You know, those of us that have been successful in life, we just look at them as hurdles and we figure out how to get around them. Those people that don't achieve success in their lives typically look at a roadblock as a stopping point. And then they start reading into it because they want to justify it, why they're not successful. So they go, well, I think, you know, maybe spiritually God's telling me to stop and that's why he put this roadblock in me. I mean, you start blaming it on God or something, or you blame it on something else, whatever else in your life, your spiritual sense, or you just say it's a sign. Oh, it's a sign that I'm not supposed to be on this path. I mean, it's just hilarious how we come up with reasons why not, instead of looking at it as, what a great challenge, I can't wait to overcome this one. Notice that, and it's all part of your belief system. It's all part of your attitude, your approach to life. And so he didn't allow his stepdad and all the programming that was done when he was growing up as a kid to stop him. He made a decision after he took that. Notice a turning point in his life was a blot test where he found out he had a lot greater capabilities than he was ever taught. And he made a decision he was going to do whatever it takes. So he talked about some key components to that. He says, number one, you got to develop a winning mindset, a winning mindset. Number two, you need some emotional foundation to support yourself. So that means you surround yourself with incredibly successful people or people that are going to support you moving forward, not people that are going to be like the crabs in the jar that keep pinching at you and pulling you back down to the bottom of the jar. And I tell you that story, some of you may not have heard it, but if you put like five or six crabs in a jar, a big glass jar, when one of them tries to decide he wants to crawl out and make a better life for himself, what do the other crabs do? They take their pinchers and they grab them and they pull them back down. It's the same thing that happens in your community. You live in a community and the people around you, when you start getting successful, what do? They start harping at you and complaining and going, oh, you can't move, you can't do this. I remember people saying that to me. Mary Jo, how can you move out of Milwaukee? How can you move somewhere else? How can you go to, all your friends are here, all your stuff. And I go, you know what? I can make friends anywhere. I can't change the weather. And that's really the reason I moved from Milwaukee, because I got tired of those extra 3 months of winter. Too long. So I just really wanted to be in some place where I could have gardens 8 months of the year and 9 months of the year and enjoy my life outside, because I really love the outdoors so much. So the idea was, you know, what are you allowing to stand in your way? You know, you get people that emotionally support you. Don't allow people or naysayers to surround you. And then managing, third is your time and energy management. You want to make sure you're managing that. And the best way to manage time and energy is what? Number one, make sure you're getting plenty of great solid sleep and you stay healthy. So we have the great results of that. We talk to everybody about taking Manatech products. Stay healthy, right? And then manage your sleep and have a plan. Every day you should sit down in your office and you should have a plan. I have my calendar. I have the 7 things I have to get done today, and then I have my appointments I have today, and bingo, that's a plan. When you operate in a structured format, you'll be 10 times more productive than when you just seat of the pants, which is typical for network marketers because you don't have a boss. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't be a boss to yourself. So, and then, again, finally, healthy and vitality, we talked about that. So that's key components for him. And when he was a senior in high school, he was voted most likely to succeed. He ended up going into the Air Force, and he was selected Airman of the Year. He went through college, got a college degree in 3 years. He spent 25 years of his life at IBM, VP of Operations in Dallas. And then he founded a company called Success Mastery Strategies. So this is the guy who gave this talk. So Alan Stalvey talks from experience, tremendous background, tremendous overcome, and we all have stories of overcoming, I'm sure. So he started with the opening premise, 3 major reasons why entrepreneurs fail. Self-doubt, like we're not good enough, I can't do it, I'm not social enough, I'm not outgoing, I'm too much of an introvert, I don't have enough friends, I call it, we have 20 different kinds of wines. Some of you should open vineyards or something because you have so much wine, right? Right. So, but the idea is like, get rid of the self-doubt. It's just stuff we make up stuff. And I call it MSUs, make stuff up, right? Self-doubt. Number 2, fear of failure. And we're going to talk about that today. And number 3 is belief systems, inadequate belief systems. And that's what I really teach on today. I do a lot of teaching across the country on belief systems and mindset problems. But our mindset is what holds us back. So he talked about 10 tips to a winning mindset. So number 1 was stop fearing failure. Fear stops us dead in the water. And you guys have been trained around fear so many different times, and there's so many great trainings out there to understand. And the word fear, a lot of us have heard the statement, it stands for false expectations appearing real. False expectations appearing real, right? Or false evidence is another word for the E, okay? Appearing real. And it stops us. But notice it's false, right? And it stops us, but it's almost like we're looking for something to stop us, or we're looking for an excuse why something's not working out. Instead of choosing the big O word, which is my word, which is overcome. I love roadblocks. Roadblocks are what, you know, it's kind of like the iron sharpens iron. When you can overcome roadblocks, it's just incredible feeling of success just in overcoming a roadblock. So instead of allowing it to stop you, look at it as a chance for you to shine bright and overcome. And I do it today. I work with some people that in relationships with business people and new friends of mine that I've gotten to know in my speaking gigs, and it's kind of cool because it's they go, well, Mary Jo, they call me, well, what do you think about this? And I'll stand and I'll say, okay, let's look at the pros, look at the cons. How do we overcome this? How do you work this out? Okay, go, let's grow, green light. And it's wonderful because I love to master that with them because they're starting to see themselves as, instead of being stuck, and how to create greatness around them. And that's just about overcoming. So it's about, and fear is one of those things that's, it's huge. It's like such a roadblock. And it's almost like some of us are looking for an excuse, why not? Stop it. Why don't you just build a life? Why am I going to be the best I'm going to be? Why? And there's a great book for you, that people out there, if some of you feel like you're stuck in fear and self-doubt and all this stuff, the book is by Suzanne Jeffers. I want you to go buy it and read it. I actually did a book review on it. I think it's on my Monday call list. It's called Feel the Fear and Do It Anyway. And she just does a great job of talking about that inadequacy in us when we hit that fear button, that we just, it causes us to wilt. And you look at people who refuse to fail, never, you know, if you refuse to fail, you're going to always win. I think there's a typo in the outline too. It says always win, right? And that's people like Michael Jordan and Thomas Edison. And you look at the people that have failed 1,000 times. Michael Jordan talks about the 7,000 baskets he didn't make, or the 790 winning shots he didn't make. But he's been the best basketball player in the history of the basketball, although some people are saying LeBron James now, but I still believe Michael Jordan. And then you look at Thomas Edison, and how many times did he make a light bulb that didn't light up? Like, I don't know, 600 times or something. It was ridiculous how many times that he failed. But he never gave up. So failure to me is just a learning experience, nothing more, nothing less. And I, what I'm going to bring up to you, one of my failures in life, in fact, everything I touched in life was pretty much turned to gold for my first 30-some years. And then all of a sudden I bought a company as a turnaround company in San Antonio. And I was already losing money. And myself and a partner bought it. And we ended up, because the creditors were really so outrageous, we ended up filing for a Chapter 11 bankruptcy because we needed the protection from our creditors in order to turn it around. So that started, you know, gave us the air to breathe so that we could start turning this around. And then 2 months later, we had a labor strike. And that was the end of the company. And I was so devastated because everything I'd touched in life had always worked out perfectly. I mean, I'd never had an issue all my life. I mean, I was only in my early 30s, but still, I was on the success track. So it was disconcerting to me. I was down in the dumps. I was devastated. But I got this phone call from my Uncle Gene from St. Louis. I always call it my famous Uncle Gene story. And he called me and he said, Mary Jo, he says, do you know how many companies fail every single day in America? And he started giving me statistics. Right? And there's plenty of statistics on failing companies. So all of a sudden, I didn't feel like I was alone. That's a good feeling sometimes, not always, but, you know, it didn't feel like I was, like, going to be on the front page of the Wall Street Journal for failing in this business in San Antonio. But he said, the company failed. You didn't fail. And he made it really clear. He says, the only way we fail in life is how? If we don't learn from what we just went through. So look at the bright side of what was that experience all about for me, because the experience needs to carry some meaning for you. And so I started evaluating what it meant to me, and it catapulted me to even greater success from that day forward. So, but he helped me get out of my doldrums and realize I didn't fail, the company failed. So how do I have to look at this? So it's just a way of, you know, getting away from fearing any of that, but looking at each experience in my life as experience to cause us to grow and learn. Number two is embrace and learn from failures. That's what we just talked about, my Uncle Gene story. It's only a failure if you fail to learn. Number three, don't fear discomfort. Embrace it. Every single thing we want is outside of our comfort zone. And I don't know how many of you have done the 9-dot exercise, but there's an opportunity here. I'll run through it with you just a little bit right now. If you put 9 dots on a piece of paper and they have to be equal distance apart and 3 across, 3 down. So you have this set of 9 dots, 3, 3, and 3, and they're all equal distance apart. Has everybody got that? You can put it on your notepad. You can put it on your outline you have in front of you. So you've got 9 dots there. Everybody got it? You might have an inch in between all of yours, or a quarter inch or whatever, and you might want to draw 3 or 4 of those diagrams. Okay, so those are your 9 dots. Now, the object of the exercise is to put your pen with the ink side, the ink of the pen down on the paper. You can't lift your pen off the paper. So you've got your ink down, and now you have to draw 4 lines without lifting the pen off the paper. All have to be straight lines. 4 lines, and connect all of the dots with 4 lines. And I have people do this, and I'm not going to sit here and give you 10 minutes to figure it out, because most of you probably won't figure it out. Some of you may have seen it before, but it's an incredible exercise because people, I can do this in a room of people. In fact, it's part of one of the trainings I'm doing today. And it's amazing to see the struggle that people go through trying to figure this out, because they go, well, how do I do this? How do I do it? And they just struggle, and they can only get, you know, they leave the middle dot out because they go around the perimeter, and now there's one in the middle. How do I pick up that one? I don't know how to get. And they struggle and struggle, and I give them 3 to 4 to 5 minutes to do this experiment. And in almost all my classes, there's either 0 or 1 person that might get it, but most of the time it's 0. And the reason people don't get this exercise, and you can look this up on the computer as well, is they fail to, when they draw their lines, they fail to hit a dot, and then when they go down, they fail to go outside the box. Because, see, somehow when we put 9 dots together, that our brain looks at that like a box. So we refuse to allow our lines to go beyond the box, the imaginary box that those 9 dots represent. And this whole exercise is all about how we perceive our life in this box. We have our own set of 9 dots that control us and build us this comfort zone. And they call it a comfort zone. In fact, if you look it up in the internet, you're going to find a discussion of this being a comfort zone. And the incredible thing about this 9 dots exercise is that there's nothing really very comfortable in your comfort zone. I renamed it. I call it your known zone. I call it what you know, because we seem to be most, quote-unquote, comfortable in what we know. Now, it might be a miserable existence. It might not. It might be wondering when the next dollar's coming, not having all the things we thought we were going to achieve in life, not being as successful as we want to be, all those kind of shortcomings. But we live in that 9 dots, in that known zone, because again, people call it comfort zone, but I don't, because I don't think there's any comfortable there. It's just, it's known. And I guess to the extent that we say things that are known are what draws comfortable. When it's an unknown, we're uncomfortable. Well, I want you to stop that nonsense. Unknown should be incredibly comforting, because it's exhilarating that you're finding out and discovering something new. We should always be on a path of discovery. Always on a path of discovery. So going outside the box. So I call that the known zone, and everything that you want in life is outside your known zone. Right? All the desires of your life outside your known zone. So in order to achieve them, you got to get outside that comfort zone that you call. And so fall in love with being uncomfortable. You'll create incredible possibilities for yourself. Number 4, he says, value who you are. And if you don't value yourself, no one else will. So it's important that we look at ourselves and say, what are we storing in ourselves that we treat ourselves as not being valuable? And most of this has to do with past events in our life. We've had past events that have arisen in our lives, and we've made them mean something, and so we carry the meaning forward, because the event doesn't mean anything in and of itself. It's just a fact. So, but we gave it some meaning, and we store it in our subconscious, and then we carry it out, and we carry this baggage. So we carry all these rocks inside of us, inside of our psyche, that just slow us down. We wonder why we don't have the energy to get up and go, and we don't have the confidence to get up and go, because we've made some facts in our life carry a meaning. Well, why don't you change that meaning, right? And it's very important for us to play that game with ourselves, because the other was just a game you made up. You gave facts certain meanings. Well, give them different meanings, meanings that help catapult you forward instead of meanings that are like, you know, a backpack of rocks that you carry around with you everywhere you go. So we have excuses why we're not where we should be in life. Instead, make those reasons why you will become something in life. So how do we convert those easily? Redefine them. Reprogram yourself, right? So every event happened to you in life for a reason, so value it. Give it a purpose in your life instead of robbing you of life. Number 5, overcome self-doubt. If you don't think you're capable, guess what? No one else is going to think you're capable either. You can do anything you put your mind to. How many have heard that statement? 1,000 times. Here's the best question. How many believe that statement? That's the biggie. Once you believe that statement, now the statement is just the classic Nike statement. Just do it. Believe it, just do it. Number six, develop a passion for learning. Yeah, I sit here probably have more education than 99% of the people in Manitech. I mean, most people don't go out and get undergraduate degree, a law degree, and then go on and get a post-law degree, a master's. And then, you know, look at Mary Jo. She's always taking trainings, right? I spend 10 to 20 grand on trainings every single year. I went to an Ultimate Wealth Camp for 2.5 days this year. I also attended a Platinum Speaker Camp. That was, you know, quite expensive, 7 days at a speaker's camp to learn how to be the best speaker I possibly could be and sell from stage. And I did that just last November. I'm 64, and I'm still investing 10, 20, 30 grand every year in being the best I can be. So I'll never stop investing in myself because I have no idea where I'm going. But I know it's not retirement, because I have way too much energy and too much to offer to do that. So I just continue to invest in myself. So the idea is that, you know, always be hungry to learn and grow yourself. Always be ready to invest in yourself. And some people say, well, I can't wait to retire. I already look at myself as able to do whatever I want to when I want. So what is it that defines retirement for you? When you get involved in network marketing and you build, you know, a great business, you have the freedom of being retired if you want to be retired, right, if you can choose whatever you want to do. But seemingly there's more to offer out there. And I always look at people, I say, why is it that people in their 50s and 60s are always looking for retirement when that's when they've accumulated the greatest amount of knowledge and experience to be in the greatest position to give back? Right? Aren't you in the greatest position to give back when you have all that accumulated wealth of experience in life that you can now offer up to people who are younger in their 20s or 30s that are just starting in an entrepreneurial business? And they could cherish the insights that you have, that you've accumulated over 50 years. Right. So that's where we should look at what we have to offer. Number seven is hire a coach and be coachable. Yep. Some people go, well, Mary Jo, would that cost money? How do we hire a coach? Well, each one of us, you know, network marketing presents itself in a new light because each of us really have a coach. Our upline leaders are coaches to us. They'll take you on any day of the week, most of them, because they're anxious to have you tackle this business. I love how when somebody in my organization says, Mary Jo, I really want to make this happen, and I say, okay, set your goals. Tell me where you want to be. I'm 100% behind you. Now, that doesn't mean they always work at it, but I don't, you know, I'll give them a few weeks, you know, and I'll work on their psychology. I'll work on their limiting beliefs. I'll work on what's holding them back. But some people just, you know, maybe they're just not made for the business. You know, that's true. There are people, if you're not willing to go out and talk to people you don't know, you're going to have a hard time in this business. You're going to have a very hard time. I have so much joy. I talk to anybody who walks in my pathway. Doesn't matter where they are. You just ask Lydia. She doesn't even like to hang out with me anymore because she says, I talk to everybody and we never get anything done. And I said, well, no, we get a lot done because I get to meet so many new people and see how I can contribute in their life. And that's another aspect of it. You know, one of the things people, well, Mary Jo, what do you, when you talk to anybody, what do you do? I just want to find out about them. I focus on them. I ask questions about them. The encounter is not about Mary Jo, it's about them. We have a tendency, we get nervous and we want to talk about ourselves and all that we have to offer. We can't wait to get them involved in our network marketing business, blah, 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 blah. And I just go, whoa, wait, time out. You know, some of my greatest people in my business were people I didn't really even talk about network marketing. I just got to know them as friends. And they started asking what I did. And they wanted to be a part of my life because I was somebody that was special to them in the time that we met because they saw my attention to them and my desire to serve them. And, you know, people are attracted to people like that. So try that as a way of approaching people. You want to serve them. You want to be impactful in their lives and see how many people you can attract that way, right? So that's what you want to do. So again, all these great things, find people that are going to help you. I talked about, you know, hiring the coach like Eric Worre in Las Vegas. You can have outside coaches that you go see. You don't necessarily have to hire them. You can go attend their conferences. Tony Robbins is a huge one for self-development, getting out of your own way. You got Richard Blissbrook we've had with Manitech now for almost a year, and he's done a great job. There's still some great trainings out there by Richard if you haven't listened to him or watched him. I suggest you go back and do it. He has a lot to offer, and his book is fabulous. I can't get people to read it when I hand it out to, you know, brand new people. But, you know, my preference now is that when I sign somebody up new, I give them, gift them that book so they really understand network marketing and compounding growth, right? And by the way, Kevin did a great job in the training yesterday or Saturday on compounded growth. So you might want to take a peek at that. He says, because he said, it's another thing out of Kevin's training, sorry, a little off path, but important to me was he talked about, you know, when you go out there and you share the comp plan with people, the one drawback that most people have in their head is it worth it? Because most people have tried network marketing, and they struggled with it in some way, shape, or form. And I always say, and I agree, that I said everybody struggles with it, number one. There's not one person I know that didn't struggle with network marketing. I surely struggled. I mean, I think I signed up one person the first 6 months. I was a disaster. But I had to learn. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care, you know. And this is a need fulfillment business. If you can find their need and fill it, you're going to slam dunk win. Those two principles are what drove me to the success I had. Basic core principles. So I had to do that too. But you want to go out there and you want to get training by the masters and whoever that is for you. There are plenty of trainers out there that can help you as well as your upline. Use positive self-talk. So you got any negative energy out there? Any negative language that you're using? You want to stop it dead in the water. If you just, you know, here's an exercise for you guys to do. Just take a little, you know, maybe a little, small little, you know, wire-bound notebook or something, you know, how those little ones that you can put in your purse, and just carry that around with you today. And every time a negative thought comes in your head, boom, I want you to record it. I want you to write it down. Because the first step to change is awareness. And if you don't become really aware of where your thinking is and your thinking patterns, they're not going to change. You're not going to choose different. And for you to be the best you can be, you got to get rid of the stinking thinking. So you want to start writing those things down. Writing down when you have a negative thought. Write it down. Now somebody go, well, Mary Jo, I just dismiss it. How do you dismiss it? Number two, why does it keep coming back? Because maybe you're dismissing it without really getting rid of it. You want to overcome the negative thinking. You want to replace some of those thoughts with positive thoughts. So you want to start rephrasing them. Maybe use affirmations. Those are great, right? Great way of doing it. I did a study of the book on affirmations. Noah St. John did a tremendous book, a tremendous favor for everyone on the earth with his book about affirmations to help reprogram some of our negative thinking. But you want to get rid of that negative languaging. Get rid of it. It's not just about you and Manatech people. It's about you and life. It's about how you treat your kids, how you treat your family, how you treat everybody around you. It's about living life. It's about being able to walk in joy every moment of your life. Would that be important to you? Would that empower you? Would that drive you forward? Choose positive, right? So, because all that negative stuff just robs you of joy, your creativity, it robs you of moving forward, and you're not going to attract people. You can be phony around people, but they're going to read you like a book. A lot of people are really good at that. In fact, I'm going to suggest to you, those are the kind of people you really want in your business because they're going to be great networkers because they're so good at reading people, and then they're able to what? Work through some of the problems with other people because they're so good at reading them. So use positive self-talk. Rephrase all that negativity. Get rid of the old. Bring in the new. And now you'll start attracting people. Your subconscious carries so much stuff that's been programmed. It's just been dumped there. And you just got to, when that stuff comes out, you want to throw it up, right? But a lot of it needs to be reprogrammed because it's almost like, you know, like here's a perfect one. I'll share this with you because, you know, I grew up in a very scarcity mentality family. How many of you did too? Your parents tell you when you were growing up, money doesn't grow on trees, right? How many times they tell you that? And the number one reason they told you that is because they wanted you to work hard, go to college, get a good job, so they wouldn't have to support you the rest of their lives. It was all selfishness. That's why they told you that. What parents wants to keep dishing out cash every single month to their kids when they're 30 and 40 and 50? I don't know any. They want you to be self-sufficient. It's one of their great fears. Because they know they're not going to be able to say no. And they don't want you becoming a street person. So they tell you money doesn't grow on trees. Why do they tell you that? Because they say work hard, you got to go get a good job, blah, 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 blah. Well, the minute they tell you that, it created a scarcity mentality inside of you about you and money. Money's scarce. Now you wonder why you walk around the streets and you have a lack of money, a lack mentality. When people ask you to invest in something, you'll go, oh, no, because you're worried, well, if I put $10,000 in that, then where am I going to get the $10,000 back? Or some of you are going, Mary Jo, I wish I even had the $10,000 to put it into something. Well, there's another lack mentality. Money grows, are you ready? Here's what I taught my stepdaughters. Money grows on every tree. You just need to figure out how to pick it. How do you harvest it? It's everywhere. Now, am I right or were your parents right? There's no lack of money in this world. They just broke through a billionaire. What was their, Jenner? Yeah, not Kylie Jenner or something. One is 21 years old, the first 21-year-old billionaire. Hello, is there a lack of money? But the minute I tell you that, some of you go, oh, well, that's that Kardashian family, blah, 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 they have no values, blah. You start all in judgment. Stop the judgment. She did it, 21. Quit making excuses for her. If you're doing that, that's what's holding you back. Instead, you want to go, wow, that's incredible. I'm going to set myself on a path to create that. You're not going to do it the same way she did, but it's just a concept of the possibility. It's there for us for the taking. But it's, again, that relationship with money that we have. And don't fall in love with money. This is another thing. It's a great, important thing because money is just dirty paper, right? I mean, that's what I look at. It's dirty paper. How many fingers touch that dollar bill that I just got from, you know, QT as change? Oh, my gosh, how many germs are on that piece of paper? It's dirty, dirty paper. So that's how many. But it's what money can do. What can money do? Oh, my gosh. For all of us have different ideas of what changes we want to make in this world, and money can do all of that for the most part, a lot of it, right? I mean, it can't change people spiritually, but it can build a lot of churches. It can send a lot of people in the mission field. It can do a lot of whatever your ilk is, money can do a lot of that. So have a mentality towards money. So it's about you know, having that subconscious reprogrammed. So get rid of money doesn't grow on trees. And you know, like I told you, I told my kids, money grows on every tree. Just figure out how to go pick it. Do you know my two stepdaughters, one's in her 40s now and one's in her 30s, and both of them are multimillionaires. Both of them. One is the number one midwifery business in all of Dallas-Fort Worth, and she's just phenomenal, off the charts, lives in a beautiful, their third house they have now, I think it's like 5 acres of land, and they remodeled this whole house, ranch-style house. It was just incredible. And the other one is in owns Century 21 businesses, and they decided early on with the little impetus from Mary Jo that owning a business isn't necessarily what they wanted. They thought real estate has got to be, and they started picking up real estate in one of the fastest growing cities, Georgetown, Texas, and they just have done phenomenal. So I mean, looking at, but they had no restriction. There was no restriction in their brain about money. They just looked at the world as money is everywhere. And these people weren't, some of you go, well, those are the people that are greedy. But my kids, my older pair, spent 4 years in the mission field in Spain. The most humble kids you'd ever want to know. Yet multimillionaires today, right? And it's not because they were arrogant. They have all the humility. They still have their faith like number one in their life. But they just didn't have a roadblock around money. So that's part of your subconscious. I just nailed one of them, that concept of our relationship with money. You got to get rid of that, and you got to cleanse it out of your system, and you've got to look at money as a vehicle to an end. You determine what that end is for you. No one else does. And money will never be the end of itself, ever. So don't chase money. Chase what's in your heart that you want to create in life. And through chasing that and being the best you can be at that, people will be attracted to you. And that's where you'll create that. Number 9, use your creative imagination and vivid visualization, right? We all have incredible imagination and visualization. So visualization is a great process. We just focus on things. The things you focus on are what you create, right? Don't limit your thinking. Allow yourself to have that free thinking. And always take on the can-do attitude. Just because you can't see something today doesn't mean it's not going to happen, right? And I love telling the story about making a $20,000 investment in the early 1990s in a fish food company. Right? I invested 20 grand. Somebody was trying to buy out a company, and a friend of mine called me. He said, "Mary Jo, this guy's looking for 100 grand. If we got find 5 people each, put in 20, we can have 4% of the company." They were doing a private buyout, and they came up 100,000 short. So I said, you know, let me talk to the guys that were going to be running it, met the guys, because that's a big intangible whenever you invest in a company. And, they were sharp guys, good backgrounds, healthy backgrounds. So I said, sure. So I dropped $20,000 into it. And 5 years later, I started getting $20,000 back every 6 months. That's like a 200% return on an annual basis of that investment. Pretty good. But 5 years later, they happened to get involved in a distribution network with a small chain called Walmart. Anyone ever hear of that? Yeah. So all of a sudden, they're selling their fish food all throughout Walmart, and a publicly traded company came up and said, "We want to buy this company," right? They saw the cash flow there. So my little 4% interest ended up being a $1.1 million payout. And now you guys are going to go, "Wow, Mary Jo, that's so high." Well, but positioning myself, did I squawk about the $20,000 investment? No. How many of you would have had the $20,000 invest, number one? Number two, how many would have done it without freaking out because, oh, my gosh, how do I replace it if it goes belly up? You get so – instead of just – it's just money. It's just a vehicle to make something more. And the best part of that story is the final part, which is I paid no taxes on my over $1 million worth of capital gain. How did I do that? I gave 90% of my stock before they paid me out. I gave 90% to a brand new charitable foundation I set up. That's how I set up Changing Environments. And I gave 10% of the stock to the church. Yes, my husband whined a lot about not taking any of that money in. And I said, "Hey, honey, this is just a gift. We just got to spread it out." And that foundation's been going now for almost 20 years. Isn't that great? You know, helping kids all over the place, funding all sorts of, you know, things happening and everything else. But the idea is that you have this can-do attitude, right? You creative imagine anything's possible. You got to open your thinking to have anything possible. And then the last thing he suggested was leveraging the last 5 minutes before you go to sleep at night. Every night before you go to sleep, you want to think about it. Because there's part of your brain, your conscious state sleeps. Your subconscious never falls asleep. It's why people plant problems in their head before they go to bed at night and they wake up with a solution. And how do we know that actually works? Well, I can tell you this. Here's the number one way you know that this is how it works, because who hears the alarm when it goes off? It's not your conscious state. It's your subconscious, right? You follow me? So otherwise you wouldn't wake up. So the subconscious is really important. It never sleeps, you know. So you want to plant in your brain at night. You want to build this idea of how successful you are, how your manatech business is growing, how you're going to find the perfect business builders. You want to have affirmation statements that you plant in your head before you go to bed at night, every night. Start doing that every night and watch how your life changes. So you'll end up accomplishing a lot of those long-term goals that you set for yourself. You become what you think about. You want to think differently. That's the goal here, people. Change the thinking. Think differently. Be positive. Think, create outside-the-box thinking. And guess what? No limitations in your life. And that's how we need to approach our manatech business. That's how we want to approach our life. Create whatever that is that we were created to create. Because all of us are creators. And that comes from my spiritual background. Because we're all created in God's likeness, that means we're all creators. So what is it that we're here to create? You choose that and then go out and make it happen. But live life with no limits. That was the great, great you know, training that Alan Stalvey did, and I just added my own personal touch in that, gave you some insights in my life as well to support you. Okay, any questions, any comments? Anyone enjoy the training this morning? What do you think? Empowered?
Hey, Mary Jo, it's Dave. Yes, absolutely. Another fabulous Monday. Mondays, I like to start out with a grand slam. Mondays are grand slams for Manatech.
Yeah,
I have
thanks,
four
buddy.
Different calls to start with Mary Jo's. This is always an awesome one. And
thank you, brother.
Finish later that night before I go to bed with those in my mind.
Yeah, it is kind of interesting how all these presidentials have their calls on Monday. Don't they? They want to kick off your week in a great way. They want you to go out there and tackle it.
That and true health Monday too. True health. That is transforming. So thanks again.
Great. You bet. Thanks, Dave. Anyone else?
Mary Jo to Ellen.
Uh-huh.
Hey, thank you for you're better than Immunostart and Ambertose on a Monday. Let me tell you. Don't tell Manatech that. They might have to bottle you. Hey, your training on Saturday was spectacular as today was. I really love the content today, but Saturday was really spectacular, and especially that lovely lady who backs you up so well.
Yep.
She did an amazing job, and she mentioned
Lydia?
A document. She mentioned
Which
a document,
one?
The one about hacking your Facebook page.
Hacking your Facebook page? Oh, you mean the training that she did?
Yeah,
you can find that on the internet, I think.
I couldn't.
Oh,
she
had to pay for it.
Okay, so
she had to pay for it. You could.
Can
yeah,
she,
how
can
much
she
would
send
it cost? $20.
That's okay. I'd want the book, but I searched for it and I couldn't find it. I guess I copied the name down wrong.
Yeah, what was the name? Hang on a sec. Oh, well, we can send that out to you.
Why did you send it out? Because I think that was fabulous. But that was some of the. I love Facebook and other.
Wasn't
things.
That excellent? Yeah.
That was so good. I couldn't write fast enough. I want the book.
just send an email to us and we'll direct you to
it.
Okay?
How's that? I'll do
that.
Well, thank you.
That's the best way to follow up with
us. Great call.
Yeah, you bet, sister. Always here to help.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought it was terrific.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Thanks. See, those people, those Saturday trainings are invaluable. No question. We put a lot of great content there. We love to give you insights. Anyone else before we go?
Mary Jo, this is Don McCormick.
Hi, Don. How are you? I can't wait to see you at Manapalooza.
Oh, I'm going to be there.
With all your bells and whistles, I can't wait. Good. What's up, Don?
Right. Honey, I think that Manatech, and I'm going to talk to Dr. Nugent about this, but we need to come up with a product that incorporates Impact, GenMax, and Plus, and call it Mary Jo Juice.
Listen to you. send Nugent a note on that and see what he says. You see how he responds.
Yeah.
Okay. That's precious.
I'm going to do that.
All right, brother. I love you. I can't wait to see you on the 22nd.
Love you too, and your training is just so awesome, Mary Jo. You're just such an inspiration to everybody.
Thanks, Dal. Thanks.
You bet.
My calling. Contribution, number one core value. Anyone else?
Good morning, Mary Jo. This is Paul. And,
hi, Paul.
Hi. You mentioned comfort zone. Wow, that was an amazing twist. Now, can you help me with that again? You said comfort zone, but was it knowing zone?
Well, here's what, if you look up the 9-dot exercise, you can find it all over the internet. So you could go through that exercise on your own as well and see how it works. But people call it the comfort zone because you know, we live in something that where we're just comfortable, right? But I look at people in their quote-unquote comfort zone, and I've been watching this over the last 20 years since I first was trained in it, and I don't believe people are comfortable in their comfort zone. So I renamed it. You won't find this is just Mary Jo's take on it. I renamed it the known zone. It's what you know. And people tend to feel like some level of comfort because it's what they know. But everything we typically want in life is outside of that known zone. We want this in life. We want this. We want financial security. We want to have a business. We want to build a charity. We want to make an impact lives all over the world. This is not in our known zone. It's outside those nine dots. But we tend to live our life inside our nine dots because that is an unknown to us. We don't know how to do it. We don't know how. What if it doesn't work? What if we look silly? What are our family going to say? What are the crabs, quote unquote, in our neighborhood going to do? Or at our church, are they going to pinch their claws and bring us back down to earth because we're thinking too far outside the box? You get this? So, but the problem with it is that we're stifled. We just live this stifled life because of all these influences around us, mostly ourselves, that hold us back from pursuing our dreams, what we really feel we were meant to do on this earth, because they're outside our known zone, a.k.a. the comfort zone. Does that help?
Wow, that's great.
Yeah.
I never heard of the crab claw clamping too hard. That's nice too. So and then you said there was a training Saturday. Where do we go to get that?
The training, Manatech does monthly Saturday trainings every first Saturday of the month, and we just did one 2 days ago, and they post it on All About Manatech. All About Manatech. They tape it and they post it there, so you can actually go back and listen to those trainings. They're there. They post them there after each training. I'm probably up by Monday morning. Yeah, Lydia says it's typically up by Monday morning. Yeah. Go to allaboutmanatech.com and just look by the date. They'll call it, you know, monthly trainings, Saturday trainings, and you just look for the date. And the last one would be then June 1st is when we did it.
Thank you.
You bet. Anyone else? Okay, everybody, have a great week. Let's go out and make a difference, be high-powered, get outside the comfort zone, go out and make a difference in people's lives. But most importantly, to make a difference in their lives, you want to listen to them, get to know them, give them all the time they need to get find out what's going on in their lives, because we are here to do what? We're here to serve other people, and we can't serve somebody by telling them what they need. We can only serve somebody by finding out what they perceive their needs are and then stepping into their lives in a way that can be effective, that they see you really care, because people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. So go and have a great week, everyone. Love you guys. Talk soon. Bye.